The monkey mind. Thinking of this, thinking of that, like jumping from tree branch to tree branch. He was a good little monkey, but he was always very curious. Chittering and chattering, busy, busy mind. Let me tell you that I do not struggle with the monkey mind. I don't. I struggle with at least 4 or 5 monkey minds all at the same time, all running around in my brain at the same moment, firing off thoughts left and right, thinking about this and that, and oh look, a shiny thing over there. My mind runs fast, it always has, really, and it usually runs pretty busy at the same time. There are advantages to this. I'm pretty adept at multitasking more than many people, and I can usually think very quickly on my feet in some situations, and so I'm good at things like open-ended Q&As or public debates, that kind of thing. But there are also many disadvantages. For example, when I try to sleep, the mind keeps running and running, thinking about this and that and the other thing, and what about what happened today, and what will happen tomorrow and the next day. And so for years, more than a decade at least, I have a thinking routine to help me sleep. And maybe something like this might help some of you. Here's what I do. I think about being president of the United States. It's totally unrealistic, and so it's not real. I can't get too wrapped up into it, but I know enough about it. I've watched the whole series of The West Wing a couple times on DVD, and I'm a bit of a politics junkie, as some of you know, and so I think about how I would do this and that, and what I do on the first day, and what I do on the second day, and then what I do, and then sleep. The monkey mind can be conquered, not permanently. At least not for me, not for Pema Chodron, who's been a Buddhist nun for years, not permanently, but sometimes, sometimes, we can stop the chitter-chatter and we can be present to the moment. Breath practice. Stop, breathe in, breathe out. This can be an easy, everyday way to do this. This sermon is my What I Learned on Sabbatical sermon for you, and here's part of what I learned. Stilling the monkey mind is hard, but it can be done here and there. And doing it is essential to the spiritual life, essential to learning and growing and living. The overall goal of a sabbatical, of course, is to step away from the day-to-day, the monkey mind, that is caused by the week-to-week work of ministry, meetings and sermons to write and events to go to and budgets to oversee, etc., etc., etc. And when you are caring for each individual tree, as important as that tree is, it becomes very hard to see the shape of the forest. But it was not just the general idea of a sabbatical, but it was the specific projects that I worked on while I was away that helped me see the power of the monkey mind and what it takes to step away and be present. One thing I worked on was my voice. I took voice lessons at the Music Academy. I have had zero, and I mean zero, training or singing lessons ever. So I love to sing, but I don't know how. And I wanted my preaching voice to be easier to hear and more powerful and effective. So my teacher would play a note, and I would try to match it. Just a hmm or a ooh, not very complicated stuff. It was slow going at first, and it's still pretty slow going, but I'm actually getting better. It's not as impossible as I feared it would be. When I started, my range was about 6, maybe 5 notes, down about an octave and a half from middle C. But now, sometimes I can get all the way up to middle C and match the notes most of the time. Still just mms and oohs. I mean, we're not really singing yet. What I have learned, and all the musicians and the singers already knew this, but I didn't get it, is that singing or speaking even, isn't really about the voice. It's about the ear. It's about listening to the note and listening to your own sound. I had never really done this before, so I've been learning to concentrate differently, to hear with a different part of the brain. It takes a lot of focus. So we'll be doing notes. And I'm doing well. I'm actually matching them. And then the little monkey wakes up. And I think about that conversation I had earlier, that event I'm going to later, that news story that I read about a few minutes ago. What are we having for dinner tonight? And my teacher says, whoops, you lost it. Totally off. And we start over again. He plays a bunch of notes all at once to sort of clear the brain. He's found that works for me. And I've found that it helps me a great deal to close my eyes, less stimulation to wake up that monkey mind. Singing and speaking well is about the ear, and it's also about how you breathe. Concentrating on your breath, breathing from the right place. Again, something I didn't really know how to do. For many, breathing from the diaphragm is habit. It's what they always do, they've always done. For me, it isn't. And so I have to really concentrate on that too. And I'll tell you, paying attention to what you're hearing and how you are breathing and holding the jaw in the right way all at once, it feels like a juggler whose flaming torches are about to all fall on the ground. But sometimes, when I'm concentrating well and the mind is focused and I get the note right, and there's that sound, that match between the piano and the voice that's coming out of me, who didn't know anything about this at all and never thought I could, when that sound matches and bounces back and forth and you feel it, you feel that you got it right, I tell you, it feels like I could fly. I'm not going to be giving Tim a run for his money anytime soon, or really, you know, ever. It isn't a natural talent for me, but I'm learning something new, and if I can stop the monkey from distracting me, I can actually do it a little, just a little. When I planned my sabbatical, I knew that my two personal projects, voice lessons and yoga, would both involve the body. But I had no idea how similar they would be and how both practices would challenge me to still the monkey mind and focus my mind and my body in new ways. I did Tai Chi some years ago and I liked it, but I'd never done yoga before. What I found is that it is not as much about how you move the body as it is about how you control the mind, at least at the beginner level, which is where I am and will be for some time. I faced the same challenges in yoga that I did in music. I was focused on the instructions. Put your foot here, move your arm this way, move your hip like this, and then that darn monkey. Which book am I going to read after the kids go to sleep tonight? How should I respond to this or that, or even this thought most of all? Boy, what the instructor just said would make a great sermon illustration. Especially that thought, and I would be lost. Where's my foot supposed to go? What are we doing here? And I would realize that I was forgetting to breathe. Our teacher often says, don't dump your body. So you're sort of holding it, and then you like, dump the body. But when my mind would wander, my body would inevitably lose its strength, and I would dump down. And she'd catch me. She'd say, Matthew, lift, stretch. Or after a while, I could even catch myself sometimes. Put my mind back in the moment. Be here now, focused on this practice, on the breathing in and the breathing out. The monkey mind really gets in the way when you're learning a new skill. It also gets in the way when you're trying to make an important life change or when we're trying to figure out what matters. I have an active mind, but I don't have ADHD. I know some of you do or have children or grandchildren who do. The precipitous rise in ADHD diagnosis is causing a lot of concern. Is it being overdiagnosed? Are parents pushing for the diagnosis so they can medicate their kid? Or is there something chemical in our food, our air, the products that we use that's causing this rise? Or is it something in the social environment, in the culture we live in? probably some of each. I'm not surprised that we are seeing a spike in ADHD among both children and adults because we live in an ADHD culture. It's not just technology, but that's part of it. We're always checking our phones for text, tweets, and status updates. The TV's on whether we're watching or not, at home, in restaurants, in office, waiting rooms, wherever you go. The world is beeping and buzzing all the time with its frantic energy. But it's more than technology. It's an attitude of energy and busyness. We live in what some have called an enhancement culture or a self-help culture. We're always trying to do more, be better parents, better workers, better at this and that. The news cycle is about 10 minutes long, maybe less, before we gallop into the next sensationalist story. We're driving our cars and listen to music or news and try to have a conversation with someone all at the same time. We explore this idea and then that idea. We keep rushing headlong into the next moment. Look, there are some advantages to this. Our access to information and culture has never been wider. We can learn so much and connect with new and old friends in ways that are faster and easier. But it is as if our whole culture is being run by frantic monkeys, which it is, you know, because that's what we are, frantic monkeys. This has implications for the life of the church. It used to be the idea that a mid-sized church like this one needed to do lots of things. We needed to offer lots of different programs so that people would find something they were interested in. We needed lots of variety in worship. Each week, different topics and styles, because that's what people wanted, that variety. But there's been a change to this thinking. People don't want to move faster and faster and faster. They need instead a place to become centered, a place to breathe in and breathe out, when the mind might become more focused, where they can go deep instead of shallow, focus on one thing at a time for a change. This is true for churchgoers and church visitors and for church staff too. And this was the third thing that I spent my sabbatical time on, and I was surprised about how much overlap there was between my voice lessons and my yoga lessons and this. I thought working on a church project is one part of my sabbatical, working on voice and yoga is the other part, but really they were the same thing. How do we calm our monkey mind in a frantic culture? How do we, with a teacher, a guide, a community of learners, develop new skills and learn to concentrate? How do we remember to breathe deeply? The method we will use to combat our ADHD, shallow, frantic culture is to devote an entire year to a single question, and to devote each month of that year to one answer at a time to that question, to go deep into it. We had a meeting yesterday with worship folks and music folks and small group folks and religious education folks to talk about next year's question and themes. It was a great meeting, one of the best meetings I've had in ministry, and I'm really excited about what we're going to do with this. We'll start in September. To learn a new skill, you need to concentrate. To find a center in a whirlwind, you need to hold steady. To get depth instead of shallowness, you need to actually go deep. What I learned more than anything else was that to still the monkey mind in our own personal lives, in the life of a religious community, in our society, it requires intentional practice. You have to work at it. It's been my lifelong habit not to hear the note. I've been working at it a long time to not be able to hear the note, so I have to practice hearing each week and throughout the week. It has been my lifelong practice to ignore my breathing, to not stretch or concentrate the body in any way, so I have to practice yoga. But when I go each week, I get better at it. And I can even do it between lessons, not the headstands, but some of the other things. It is the habit of our culture to stay shallow. If we want to do it differently, we will have to practice. Week after week, month after month, and in between, in our own lives. When you forget where you are, take a moment and breathe in and out 3 times with intention. Do it each day. Practice. No one has ever fully stilled the monkey mind, and no one ever will, for we are monkeys, and that mind is always with us. Don't expect perfection. Through practice, through intention, however, we can become masters of our minds, and thus of our bodies and our lives. And we can learn just for a moment to be fully present, to welcome the world's wonder, and to be in the midst of the whirlwind, a calm center of peace and love. Whatever it is in your life that you keep getting distracted from, whatever new skill you are trying to learn, whatever franticness you are trying to lay aside so you can do what really matters, I wish you luck and joy and time to practice with purpose and patience and company for the journey. If I can start to learn to sing, then really, people, there is nothing that you can't do. I invite you to rise in body or spirit. It's one